Good evening, everyone. Good evening. I'm so glad to talk to you. This is Veronica Entwistle with Radiance by Design. And you know, I started this show years and years ago because I wanted to give service. I wanted to send frequencies out over the airwaves along with a lot of other people. There weren't so many at that time. But I wanted to give you service. I wanted you to have access to readings for free and to get some kind of teachings and some inspiration. It's a kind of a gifting process I want to do. Of course, selfishly, I like doing it. So I like to do it for that reason as well. So I just thought, you know, we did a show, Paradigm Shifters, was about crowdfunding this week. And I'm really learning a lot about gifting. Remember Charles Eisenstein, gifting economies and conscious business. And then if you look at some of the stuff that's going on in the news, it's pretty egregious. It's always like, who can make the most money? I don't care if I rip up the planet. So I didn't want to start talking to you about how awful the world is. That's not something that we're really interested in doing. But I really am fascinated by the rising tide of people wishing to give and gift in the world, wishing to help each other. So, for example, money is really difficult for a lot of people. But you got yourself these crowdfunding situations where people gather around, I think it was Patrick Flanagan recently did a thing which is a neurotransmissional machine of some kind. And it's not brand new, but he upgraded it. And he asked for, I think, $200,000. He got $400,000. But what's happened is that some of these projects that are being crowdfunded are projects that would have not been popular because they would have challenged the steadiness or the affirmed success of the marketplace, you know, if you put it through the normal business cycle. So what I really love about all this is people are starting to put their heads together, you know, like with social media and so on. People are putting their heads together and they're starting to, or not starting, people are building up the power of supporting things the way you want to. I just think of NPR. I just up the rate at which I support NPR because I love how they offer so much. I'm in LA now, as you all know, but I listened to NPR a lot when I was living in Bellingham. But down here, it's different than up there. But it's also getting more and more lively, and there's more real reflection of what's going on in terms of not just consciousness, but people's activity. And I'm really excited about it. So, of course, I pitch more money into it. And not a ton, because I don't really have a ton yet. Gonna, right? But it's just that feeling. And so many websites of wonderful, wonderful healers and so on, and people who are doing good works out in the world have a little donate button, right? I'm thinking of astrologers and intuitives, and I can't even think of anybody offhand. Eisenstein, people like that. Eisenstein doesn't really charge for a lot of his. He's the guy who does gifting economies. He doesn't really charge for a lot of his services. He just asks for donations, and he gets quite a bit of money for that. Or I think of that little girl that I interviewed a while back named Vivian Haar, whose big thing is make a stand. When she found out at 7.5 years old that there was child slavery on up there, out in the world, she said, well, that's not right. Children shouldn't be slaves, and I'm going to sell enough lemonade to bail them out of slavery. And her message to everybody, she's now 10, her message to everyone is, every single person can do something about the inequities of the world. And she made her $100,000 thanks to her family and a whole bunch of other people who, when she said the lemonade is free, people started to pitch in more and more and more money and built up this huge flow of money, which she then offers to various organizations that help disenslave kids in all kinds of all parts of the world. She's only 10, right? But in any case, this whole gifting economy is really exciting for me. And you and I know that sometimes gifting is really impractical unless you get a tax deduction and a this and a that. But sometimes just a feeling of, I am my brother's keeper. I am looking after you. You are looking after me. Is a whole other level of consciousness, isn't it? Anyway, my name is Veronica Entwistle, and I want you to call into my show tonight and talk about what's going on in your life and how do you feel about things like crowdfunding and the gifting economy. One of the things I was cogitating earlier tonight is how the journey of the soul is amazing, your soul and mine. We spend a lot of our time on our inner processing, digging out of ourselves where we could improve our behavior. And it doesn't matter whether you're in this particular socioeconomic time, ancient times or future times, the inner process is going to be similar, which is, I used to be Catholic and we always talked about the seven deadly sins, but there are a lot of common feelings that you and I know we need to step out of. Things like jealousy, things like hatred, things like old backbiting, pulling each other down, stealing from one another. We know better than all those things. We know it deep down, like we've got violin strings deep in our soul. And as soon as we do any of those things, we get this ding, we know, ding. And then the souls move up to a higher and higher and higher level the more of this stuff you learn to, I wouldn't say get rid of, but I would say keep at bay or heal and apologize for. And anyway, I'd love you to call in. Let's do our conjoint meditation. I have a whole bunch of things talking about gifting tonight. But I also, the other thing I wanted to talk about is how so many of you have been doing a lot of readings this week. And I'm really happy about that. But a lot of you are working on whatever it takes to get more and more into your true nature, right? And then we talked about these uglier parts of us inside, our competitions, our jealousies, our elbowing and shoveling one another aside so we get the most or we get the biggest piece of cake or whatever we want, the best mortgage money and stuff, don't care about the land. The soul journey becomes refined as we see, as we look at that, as we gift into the world, as what you do and I do, sort of like permaculture. In permaculture, everything you use has at least three uses, right? And that way, the flow goes from what you're doing into the earth and back out again, into the earth, up into the atmosphere and back out, and laterally to one another, right? It's as if we could live that way in such a way as to serve the planet and to serve one another. There's one more thing about back to crowdfunding. There's one more thing is when things are uneven. I don't know if this is the right kind of thing, but anyway, if things are uneven in the world and things are really unjust and unfair, lift your voice and also gather other people, gift them with your understanding and your compassion and your love and gather more and more voices. Because I really feel that it's a time where people are beginning to say, because of social media probably, what's on their mind and what it is they would prefer to see. And when we nudge each other and we support one another, our voice, the collective voice, gets larger and larger. And it doesn't mean that you have to be the Christian or Muslim, young or old, Republican or Democrat, rich or poor. It doesn't mean that. It means that quality of life is a subject for everyone. And until we raise our level of consciousness and we raise our collective number of voices, we're kind of in this gunny sack kind of thing where it's a dog eat dog and it's defensive and so on. You know what I'm saying. I'm just going on and on here about this. But I really believe that if you're in your true nature and you're really counting on your being the only one in the universe that's you, you will clear a lot of these deep inner frustrating habits, habitual defenses, and so on. And we also will gather in more and more people who radiate to that. Because when you're really in your true nature, you're not defensive. Maybe you're vacillating between passionate and acceptance. But this is a self-love that has to come up for you to be in your true nature that is going to radiate out there, and it's going to increase your ability to love both the planet and other people on it. It's a really, really interesting time. And I also want to remind you of how we can create our reality and how we can manifest all kinds of magic by our thinking, by our being, by how we... Remember Ty Kane, I don't know how many of you heard him, but he was talking about futurizing, which is something that I realized as I went back over his interview. Oh my goodness. Most of what he talked about, a lot of us have studied and explored off and on through the years, which is how you see yourself from the future, how you deal with things like the archetypes, like God and so on, how you make peace with how things have been is going to give your life right now, even though you're futurizing, it's going to give your life a lot more potency. And as you get that potency, that feeling of being very strong, and you can literally make things happen in your way, you're going to be less defensive, competitive, jealous. It was all about me. It's all about you. And when we're jealous, the assumption is I can't have it because you have it, right? See, I've just gone around this kind of funny, blobby, bubbling brook of all these different things. So there you have it. Let's do our meditation together. Let's call in the violet flame and see these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful columns of violet flame coming into the corners of your room. Every corner of your room's got a pillar of pulsing, expanding violet flame pillar. Isn't it beautiful? And the violet flames keep moving. The pillars start to move to the left, and they move along the walls. So they go round and round and round where you are. Round and round your room. And then they start to swell and they get bigger and bigger until you've got what looks like a violet flame bonfire right in the middle of your room. Woof! And then what you want to do is step into that bonfire and have its pulsing, bubbling flames knock you way up into the air, toss you up as if it's a game, a kid's game with a trampoline, right? And you jump up and down with the movement of the violet flame and have it burn all the frequencies that are sticking out of your body, especially where there's dissonance or confusion. Let that violet flame, as you're being tossed up and down in the air, rush through your entire body. Feel it coming up through your feet, your legs, right through your genital area, up into your belly, and fill all your red chakra. It's got this violet flame burning it up. Your belly, your orange chakra is all burning and burning with the violet flame. And your yellow chakra is burning and burning with the violet flame. And your heart chakra is burning and burning and burning. And it rises up through your throat where you transform all of this into wisdom. You're speaking your truth. You're coming up with your true nature and straight up into your third eye, and it burns and burns in the third eye straight up to the top of your head and shoots out the top of your head. That's it. And way out into the great central sun, and now drop that violet flame back down and have it fill your room again. Fill, 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 fill. And now we're going to do a very fast version so we can get into the Galactic Healing Center. I want you to see yourself with a golden ball above your head, about 2 miles. Down through your spine is this incredible filament of light, and it reaches the lower golden ball about 40 feet below your spine. And then you're going to fill your this... I'm trying to bring too many images in at one time. Sorry. So drop a three-sided pyramid from the upper golden ball to about waist height, push it out so there's space there, then upside down, poking into the lower golden ball, another golden pyramid. And so that's a great big diamond. And now inside of that, there's a crystal ball. Good. And inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron, and you're in the star tetrahedron, and you're going to spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And as you spin, I want you to see yourself on a little screen. You're going to create a movie of you becoming what it is you want to become. Well, the energy's moving really well. That good old violet flame really does it, doesn't it? And so I see myself becoming consciously multidimensional. I wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And the second little screen shows the project you want to do. And I see my project, and all the resources come to create the project. It's time, money, people, space, buildings, whatever it is you need. It just flows to you. And then you dust your hands together going, woohoo, I created my project. How wonderful. And now all the resources are coming together. This is where you really apply your magic. The resources come together to sustain your project for as long as it's natural existence. Good. And now let's wrap that in light. And now remember that with your guidance and my guidance, we have some really powerful healers in our coalescence of beings that's called our guidance. And let's ask the ones that are the best healers or the ones that are really interested in doing healing right now to come in and stand around this beautiful, shiny, fresh healing table. Now, the first person to go in on the table is you or me. And I want you to lie down on that table and take a look around you. Who are these beings that are around your table? Who's there to help you? And then you might want to tell them what kind of healing you want. Or they'll tell you. If you don't know what it is you need, ask them. It's making me yawn. Look. Okay, I can hear them. Sometimes you want to write down what they tell you, right? And then we're going to wrap this in light, move it over to the left, and have our healing team replicate themselves. And now we're going to have some different people come in. Who is it you want to see on the table? Yeah. I want to see... There's a whole family, and they're not the only ones, but there's a whole family that got some kind of strange virus. The little kids and then the parents, and they got this virus, and it just keeps going on and on. Then I talked to a dear friend tonight, and she was going through that. And I talked to several people today who said this is going around. I said, don't tell me that. I don't want to know that. What I want to know is we can find a way through it. So if you see yourself with a flu-like virus, get on your table here or put on other people that have a virus. And these beings of light are going to work with you. I see a little girl here, and she needs to have a good bowel cleanse. She's been eating a lot of the wrong stuff. So this virus has hit her, and she doesn't have the... we used to call it when I was a kid, they said, you don't have the intestinal fortitude. I don't think we knew then that your neurotransmissions start off in the intestinal tract, and your intestinal tract has everything left over, including karma. So I look at this little girl. I think she's probably about 9 or 10, and she's got a big mess in there. She's been eating all the wrong stuff, and it's going to take her a lot longer to clear this out. So the healing team is moving around. Good. They're working with her. And now here's a whole family, the mom and dad and two kids that all have this viral thing. And they're all in different states of repair. But the mother, if she's not careful, will be having it go to the chest. We're not saying it has to. We're just seeing if we can offset that. The father's getting better, and the little girl is getting better. So we're just asking the healing team to work with each one of them. And in every case so far, I see that there needs to be a cleansing, mostly of the effects of the intestinal on the central nervous system and the autonomic system. All of that is kind of horrendous. So I'm recommending that they have a nice cleansing of the colon, which some people don't like to do, but it's really important. So let's wrap them in light as well. And there's a couple of people here who are older, two women and a man. They don't know each other, and each of them is on a table. And they're a really good example that we need to say, okay, take a look in your... Now, I want to say this gentleman is grieving. He's lost his wife and his child, apparently. And he's a lot older, and he's being knocked down because his immune system has been compromised by his losses. You understand? Yeah. And the healing team is wrapping him in light and is pulling, there we are, stuff out of his belly. It's making me yawn. And the other women that are really old here, I would say in the late 80s, are suffering a lot because their bodies, their bones are fragile. So, the healing team is working by holding their heads and moving some of the blocked energies in their body. Remember the old thing about Rinpoches, spend a lot of their time releasing themselves from old belief structures and so on. And they say that some of them, when they die, don't get rigor mortis, which is the hardening of the body after death. And that's kind of an important thing to realize. So when we're doing some healing, even though these people are all having a virus, we can see within their bodies the kinds of resistances and belief structures that are making their systems weaker. You see what I mean? All right, so wrap that in light. And let's bring in someone from a different kind of reason. Huh. Well, you're not going to be liking what I have to say now. Let's have the team replicate themselves. I've had several people talking about how today, over the last week or so, about medical marijuana and how amazing it is for pain and sicknesses of all kinds. But the biggest problem is, guess what? It depresses people. So they end up on a really interesting other cycle. So it's not pharmaceutical. But if you're not careful, you get caught on a wheel, right? I'm not preaching don't do it or do it. And I know some people with extreme cancer have found quite a bit of protection with it or feeling a lot better. But remember, there is a tendency to have quite a depression. So do some research and see what you can figure out with that. I figure that energy is going to help people a lot. Okay, now wrap that in light. Let's bring in a fresh table. In this table, what we have is a... wait a sec. This is all about money. This is a woman... and a man, two different people, who are afraid about money. They're really afraid about money, and they need to make some changes, and they're both really terrified. If they relinquish their hold on their money, it'll be all gone. And I want to say to them something that you and I know, but we have to keep reminding one another, which is that... you have to set up your mind and set up your heart and put the energies forward from your mind and your heart about, for example, I want $10,000 or I want $100,000, whatever it is you need, to be sending that light out instead of, oh my gosh, I'm really worried. Money scares me. I'll never be able to have it. Because both of those are really creative expressions. But what do you want to create? That you never have any? I don't think so. All right. And let me see. Actually, that shifted the heart. The heart of the woman that I have here was really down. You know, now she's starting to lift up, because when we think, ha, I'm going to create, what, $10,000, I'm going to create a flow of money that is just irresistible, or I'm going to create a flow of resources, is a better way to put it, that is irresistible for me and others. And also, she's going to give and give to people as well. All of a sudden, her heart, instead of being concave and grief-filled, is really expanding. So let's wrap those people in light and remind ourselves that you always have to create with your mind and your heart, and you also want to write things down. I have so much money coming. I have so much money coming. I give so much. Now wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And here is our big political table. What subject do you think you should like to put on the table today? You know what I'm thinking? I just keep thinking lately that Obama is trying to do a bunch of good things. And what was I thinking of? Something about education and college, free community college. He's trying to up the ante in a lot of things. He's trying to make it a matter of legality to give people sick leave at work, and that they can collect sick days and so on. These are kind of old-fashioned right to have quality employment realities, and this country has kind of dropped off all the softening forces. Places like Boeing that are doing really well are cutting back all the support for their people who are desperate enough for jobs that they'll put up with that. You know, it's kind of an interesting time, but Obama seems to be standing up and saying things like, okay, let's give people time off for sickness, time off for having children. Let's knock some of the fees off of the colleges. Let's make our loan payments lower interest rate. Now, I don't usually talk politics with you guys, but I'm going, I think we should watch him, and let's put him on our table and give him some support. If he had support, do you think he could get out of the clutches of this oppositional force that's been running his entire reign? So let's send light to him, and send light that that the leader of this country has both the foresight, the vision, and the support to move the country into a much more, what would we call it, benevolent environment. Less about murder, less about greed, and more about life, you know, feeding and fueling life. Good food, good water, good homes, good houses, good infrastructure, good medical support. You know, all the things that we don't usually expect here, at least these days. All right, so I want you to call up from way out there. Call in a stream of salmon-colored, radiant light. Have it come down through the top of your head, down through your neck, and swirl round and round in your heart, up around your shoulders, out your arms and your hands. And I want you to pat this whole picture of Obama doing good things, or having the courage and the support and the love to be able to carry off benevolent and helpful projects. Yeah, we're just going to keep flowing that energy to him. And that he's able to block the incredible amount of picking on him that's going. Good work. And wrap that in light and let it stew. And now we're going to finish this with calling in that salmon color again. It's a radiant, radiant, radiant bright color. And it comes in through the top of your head, down your neck, through your shoulders, around your heart, down your arms and your hands. And then I want you to pat the world with it from your hands. Pat various parts of the world. Pat, 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 where people are sick, where people are poor, where there's war, where there's incredible things going on because of the dog-eat-dog attitude, or because of, oh, the thieving and stealing, and I've got the most marbles, so I get to take my bag of marbles and go home, including all of your marbles. You know, all this stuff. Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, they talk about that stuff, and that was done 8,000 years ago. Oh, there's some suggestion it was even longer than that. So this is not, this is kind of a normal human greed thing, isn't it? So I want you to pat all over the world where there's sickness and there's poverty and there's destruction of the beautiful planet on which we live. Yeah. And keep patting it round and round the world, round and round and round the world, until the world itself is two things, infused with this light, and also it is buffered by or protected by that light. And now wrap it round and round and round. And I want you to turn around and close off the Galactic Healing Center and jump into your star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin. And then I want you to come out here and talk to me. Hello? Are you going to call in? A couple of you are really hesitating. I'm seeing one of you hesitating because she feels insecure about who she is. I think that's what it is. Is very worried about her existence, and she's very frightened to call in for fear people will recognize her. So are you famous or what? Or are you just afraid that we've had you on the radio before, and so now people will know who you are? I'm teasing you. Come on, phone in anyway. All right, so here's the deal. Let's us do some, this is my gift to you, right? Let's do some healing work together. Let's call in this beautiful healing light. And let's call it in and have it surge right through your body like spiraling lights. Can we do that? And have it surge round and round and round in your body like spiraling lights. And then I want you to clean out. It's cleaning you out. It's like a bottle washer. It's cleaning out your entire body. That's it. Can you feel it buzzing? And as it buzzes and twirls and buzzes and twirls, it makes a huge difference. I keep yawning. Usually that means that I've gotten somebody's fatigue energy or resistance to change. Maybe it's my own or it's somebody out there. So what do we do about that? We take the violet flame and we wrap ourselves around and around and around with the violet flame and build that buffer between yourself and everybody else's emotions. And then they get to help themselves with the violet flame. They don't have to help themselves to the energy essence that you are. Okay, now let's see what else we're going to do here. Okay, so it's funny, I see somebody is crying like mad and is very, very upset about the nature of her child, who I think is a teenager. By the looks of things, he's a teenager, and the mother and the father probably, but we're only seeing the mother today, very upset because she's losing control of her boy. So let's see what we can do here. I want you all to build light bring in the violet flame or these beautiful spiraling golden lights. And then for her, we want her to radiate. Radiate from herself and through this boy and to this boy. Good. Until he feels bathed in light. Because what happens is when he's going to behave like a jerk or he's going to behave like a wild boy, he's going to find that he himself doesn't even approve of how he's doing it. You know what I mean? So it's like a lot of kids don't want to be bad. They're just reacting and rebelling, right? So what we're doing is sending him a lot of light and we're sending him a lot of strengthening light so he doesn't need to do it that way. There we go. There we go. And for those of you who are really, let me see here. And for those of you who are dealing with this sort of thing in your life, let me see here, just a sec. I've just gone blank, haven't I? Okay, so when you're trying to work with things that are people who, there's a lot of dissension, when there's a lot of dissension between yourself and other people, you can actually sweep that dissension away by calling in your light. Remember to bring it in from the higher, call it in and send it out there with your thoughts and feelings to them. Or you can also go up into your higher self and go over and talk to their higher self. Like, I know that you're really mad at me and you can't stand me right now, but I'm sending you love and I'm forgiving myself and I'm resolving some of those issues in myself. I did not mean to have hurt you this way. Or, you know, whatever it is you need to say, you go up into your higher self and you beam that story right back to the other person. And it's absolutely stunning what can happen. We can resolve so much dissension between people by doing these kinds of activities. And when I look at the world bubbling and churning like it is, the art of letting go of who's right and who's wrong is really one of the key forces in forgiveness. What is forgiveness to you anyway? Because that is a gift as well, isn't it? But who do we forgive for? I'm going back in talking about gifting and all. I'm going, who do we forgive for? We always forgive for ourselves, don't we? Because where you're holding a resentment or where you're afraid to see somebody for fear of something or another, like some dissonance coming up or some past reminder of the past and so on, your greatest gift is to yourself. You say, I need to forgive that person so that I'm not weighed down by this kind of trauma blama. It's just garbage. And so it's leftover, leftover. Here we go. So when you have an issue with somebody and you want to unhook that issue and you're tired of being towed around by it or being afraid to see them and so on, you want to send out there some really powerful understanding and forgiveness vibrations. I say understanding going, recognizing that you yourself are as responsible as anybody, right? Okay, here we go again. We also have some amazing, I'm changing the subject here quite a bit. I want you to call in. I got tired of hearing my own voice here. Don't you have things that you want to ask me? I'm telling you, I started doing this because I really wanted to be supportive. Anyway, I won't worry about it. But what I am seeing here is a group of people. And somebody's trying to rally. Somebody is trying to format a group in order to rally kind of an attention or a focus that will make a difference. And I could see it happening. And it's you have to be tender when you do that. You have to be tender. You have to be gentle. You have to be able to hear other people's opinion and their fears and their insecurities. Because without that, then you lose your what do they call it? Losing your audience, right? Yeah. So what I'm seeing is that there are a number of you out there who want to get group activities going in order to help yourselves swell the ranks, grow more and more and more people. When I say more and more and more people, that's a reference back to us talking about the more you have in the collective voice, the huger the impact is going to be over the next while. You see that? So now let's pick, sometimes I have this thing about seniors because I feel like so many people who are older than, oh, Nadia. Nadir? Hello. Hi. Hi, Nadia. How are you?
Hi, Ronnie. It is Nadia. I don't know how I am. I've come back. You just mentioned seniors, and I've just come back from the Memory Bridge training in Florida. It was awesome, awesome training, really connecting with people with Alzheimer's and dementia in ways that I didn't realize were possible.
Well, now tell me, was it intuitive? Was it empathic? How was it?
It was very physical.
Oh,
very
really?
Physical, where we connected and held the hands with what Michael called buddies, and looked into their eyes and drew out their stories about their lives, and they were so there were varied experiences, but I had two different people. I was with one who was very inside herself, and I just tried to connect with her, and over a bit of time, it's like she made a decision to live.
Oh, wow.
And another one who was so delighted to share her life, you know, with a stranger, me, and even showed me a book that her husband, now gone, had written. And she said, I've only showed it to other people, and I just love you. And it was just an amazing experience. To be so trusted and honored, and people are just so hungry to be. I mean, we are the bridge between their isolation and becoming part of, remaining, still being part of the bigger world.
Well, tell me this: could they? Was the whole purpose to bring their stories forward?
It was to be the bridge from their isolation. Their sense of isolation and living in places in their minds where they used to live, and where most people would say, oh, well, that's not happening now, or, you know, not that everyone would be that callous, but it was to be the bridge from a person's isolation and separateness, and to reincorporate them into the human body. It was a very touching experience.
Could they speak?
Some, you know, they're in various stages of dementia and Alzheimer's, and yet they're living parts of their lives, and that's what they talk about, the parts in which they felt most alive, in which they felt most connected with life and with their family and loved ones. It was a very deepening experience, And now I've come home and I've got a numbness in my body, an actual physical numbness right in my torso. And I'm thinking, what is that about? Coupled with a huge, huge toothache. And I'm going, what use am I if I am decrepit? What am I going to do with this? And yet there's this beautiful experience to share. And right now I'm just too exhausted to share it much more.
When did you get home, Nadia?
Monday night.
Oh, so you've just gotten
Monday
home.
Night.
Yeah,
with a huge, crazy dilemma at the airport where my booking agent had booked me coming back in February, not January, so I'm doing...
Oh, you're kidding.
I know. So it was quite a trip home, but there were still interesting people on the way and on the trip, and a lot of questions I'm asking myself now, including what the heck is going on with my body that I'm numb?
Where's the numbness? In your torso?
It's from my rib cage to my perineum, basically.
So I want you to ask your body right now if that's yours. Is it yours?
I never considered that it might not be.
I'm wondering if you didn't empathize several different situations here.
I never thought of that as a possibility. I just thought there's something going on here and I don't understand it.
I think you've empathized, so I want you to practice doing that, calling it up and feeling it and asking if you'd taken on somebody else's feelings, because if you did, I mean, because you are quite an empath, and if you did, it will see, I mean, it can actually kill us, as you know what I mean. It's not going to kill you, but I'm saying you can empathize with all kinds of things. You can die from other people's illness. I've taken on colds on the phone, if you think that isn't an identity crisis. But I want to jump back into something else, Nadia, because you called in when I started to say that I'm really, really interested in the whole process of seniors or older people who have given up on life because they know they can't walk, run, jump, or whatever, cook anymore. And I'm always, you know, marveling that they have a whole story, and somehow in our evolution we have to be pulling that, just like what you said. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. We'd be pulling that story forward from them instead of making it like, if you can't do the 4-minute mile, sorry, you're over and out, you know. It isn't that way.
Right.
So this is called, is it called? The Caring Memory Bridge, is that it?
Called Memory Bridge, yes. You should have Michael on your show.
Yes, well, you can set it up for me.
We'll talk about that later, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's a very exciting subject. Because it's back to this whole thing we're talking about, gifting and supporting one another and having a collective voice. It's like having a voice at all is worth $1 billion, dollars, isn't it?
Yeah. And so for some of these people to just connect with them and for them to know there's someone out here on the other end of their eyeballs that's reaching out to them and saying, I want to know you. Can I be with you? Would you share something of your life with me? And realizing that anybody is even out there who wants to connect when somehow they've gone so far inside, it brings them back to the realization that they are still alive. They do still matter.
Yeah.
Those two ladies I connected with, they touched me deeply just in the experience of being with them.
Wow. And they did, because you became aware of their soul's pulse or the value of their personalities. What would you say?
Yeah, that there's a force of life still in there, even though the body is in a wheelchair, and they both were, and not fully enjoying being physically present now, but yet when they realized someone was willing to listen, and it's not like I'm so good. It was just an experience of realizing that we can still connect even though we think the person is not there. They're there. They just need to know that there's someone else on the other side of their eyes that wants to know them.
And that they're not just being condemned because they're losing their memory and this and that. I think I've told you this on my show before, but one time three of us were singing Christmas carols in harmony, and my partner Bob's mom was in the Alzheimer's place, so that's why we were at that particular place. And there was a fellow there who was flat out, I've mentioned this story, he was flat out in a wheelchair and he had not spoken for 5 years. Anyway, we were singing the same old carols over and over again because nobody realized it was the same old stuff. And all of a sudden, he started singing, shocked everybody, brought tears to their eyes. He started singing Silent Night in German, and he was singing harmony. So this man who never spoke at all was suddenly singing. People cried. It was really touching. But by the same token, this fellow was being touched enough to flow some of his own things. So I think that's, I'm really glad you called in. It's a very big subject for me.
It's becoming bigger for me too. Thank you. I wasn't sure whether to call, but I thought, well, it was good to connect with you, and what you were talking about just sort of struck a chord. But this is, yeah, this is huge. It's really the power of love and connection and being brought back into the larger body of life. You know, when a person doesn't seem to be inhabiting their body so much, and when they have someone else touching their hand and looking into their eyes and sometimes touching their cheek, it's like there's, I still feel there's someone who wants to know me. There's, I'm still here. I'm still able to be, you know, it's,
Yeah, and there's a book out right now called I'm Still Alice, I think, okay?
Right, yes. It was written by a woman who's very well known down there where I was, who's very good friends with the manager of this program and the Memory Bridge training down in Sandhill Cove in Palm City. Lisa, I forget her name, but I really want to see Still Alice because she did... She is aware of Michael Verity's Memory Bridge training and has said something about him in her blog, I think. So Still Alice is something I definitely want to see.
It's in a movie form, right?
It's a movie. It's Julianne Moore. She's nominated for an Academy Award for it. So Still Alice for sure.
Wow, yeah. This is great. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for calling. You've given me a lot of food for thought, and I hope everybody at home as well, whereas... coming up with who we really are in life is a process that doesn't end, right?
Right. Yep. Thank you so much for taking
well, thank
my call.
You. Thank you, Miss Nadia.
Okay.
Okay. Good night. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, well, that was a good call. And there are so many people out there that are being warehoused as senior people. And so many of them are... there's something left there and they could be cultivated to come forward and to shine and to spark a bit and really put their light into the world. I know of one woman who's close to 100 and she doesn't want to die because she doesn't want to see her mother and her husband. So she doesn't have much left, but she's very peaceful right now. She says, I'm not going because of that. So she's staying, but that's an interesting story in itself. But I think just having, whether it's dolphins or plants or the ocean or the earth or one another, just learning to have a really, really deep, unending respect for what life presents to us, I think is really important. So... something interesting that's coming up, my next interview is going to be with Jim Emke. Some of you have heard him before. He talks about nutrition and so on. He and I were talking recently. He was talking about how in placenta of mothers these days, they find things like gasoline. They find a lot of the kinds of pollutants that you wouldn't expect to be in placenta. But if it's out there in our cities, it's really having a huge impact on people. And, you know, we talk about Alzheimer's. Where does that come from? We talk about autism and ADD and ADHD. Where does it come from? We talk about GMOs. Oh, my goodness. If we put the wool over the people's head, they'll never know. The fact that we have huge growing allergies and also gluten disease or whatever it's called. They say if you eat wheat products over in Europe, you don't have any problem with gluten. We've got all the GMO stuff, and we're being bamboozled by that again. It's really an interesting time, but what if we really knew who we were? How would it be if you and I really found out who we were deep inside and what was our dharma? What gifts did we come to bring? And really sought that as a goal. Even when we're children, little children can be taught that. I wonder what this society would be like. We would look after one another, wouldn't we? So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, I hope that you're going to tune in on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock or following that, you can tune into my website and get a podcast of Jim Emke talking about nutrition and the kind of the kind of changes that go, this is what I'd like to talk with him about, is the kind of changes that have gone through human history according to, oh, whether there's been war, whether there's been a certain kind of crop, or remember the pellagra thing, which where people even had to go to institutions, they went crazy, all their skin came off and so on. All it was a B3 deficiency, a niacin deficiency, based on the fact that corn was dried and stored in the wrong kind of place. So what happened, it would antidote a certain nutritional influence. And so a lot of people got very, very ill. And when they discovered that it was a nutritional deficiency of B3 or niacin, boing, all of a sudden there was no more pellagra or very little of it, you know, because, I mean, sure, people can really have nutritional deficiencies no matter what's going on out there. But we're going to talk about that Tuesday night, and I hope you're going to tune in, and then I hope you're going to do some podcast, check it into the podcast list, which is getting formidably interesting. This is Veronica Entwistle saying also go on to www.veronicaentwistle.com, hit the Ask Veronica button, and make some feedback on the shows, this show, and the Paradigm Shifters and the podcasts and anything else. And one more thing is my book is coming up. We're hoping to get it in the publishing mill next month or so. So we'll talk about that as well. Thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Thank you, Nadia, for your call and your inspiration about thinking through some of the more warehoused seniors and helping find that glimmer of light that's strictly their own that can make life really meaningful for us. So once again, this is Veronica Entwistle. If you need a session with me or you want to just feed me back on any of the shows, let me know how you are. VeronicaEntwistle.com. Thank you so much for listening.